Renaissance Recall with Jim Miller is part of Grey Towers Productions.
Ha! Jamboree! Ho! Jamboree! Ho, you ring-tailed sailors coming up behind! Ho! Jamboree! Ho! Jamboree! Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm! Now, me lads, be of good cheer, for Lundy's Isle, it holds quite near, so it's way down below, and stow your gear. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ha! Jamboree, ha!
Welcome to
Jamboree,
Renaissance Recall. This is a very special part B of our Spear and Spoon episode. So we're going to continue where we did the break off in the middle. Thank you again, and have fun. And welcome back to Renaissance Recall. And we just had a longer break than we normally have. Yeah.
I blame Natalie.
I wanted chocolate milk.
And so we all got like chocolate milk or strawberry milk, and
Zell tried to be a wise aleck and ask for strawberry, and little did he know we have that.
I tried.
So, but yeah, no, we had a lovely break and we talked about it, and some Dr. Horrible came out for no apparent reason whatsoever, and
because
we recorded that, but I'm not going to post that one for several reasons of probably legality. So let's go on the round robin. We've got four people here.
Hello.
Hi. The only thing is Kristen can't see anybody yet. But I think we can fix that.
I can't, but yeah, that's not going to change anything.
If she leans a little to her right, she can see me between the monitors.
Hey.
So what we're going to do is now we can do kind of like a round robin where we discuss things that we've seen each other do. I'm remembering rule two.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. All of us have these weird look at our faces like we're trying to remember the rule.
So
we're
trying
to base it.
I have a spoony story.
Oh, no.
I have a spoony story. It was one of the very first times that I ever met her big spoon, and she had it like on the ground, and she's wrapping cloth around the handle, and I walked up and I was like, "Oh, nice spoon. What you doing?" And she's like, "Changing it." Like it was this perfectly and totally like, duh. Why wouldn't I be doing that in the middle of a field?
So on the tail end of that,
like Roger or Robert.
Okay, so I as Luna Lott the Spoonmaker run around the Virginia Renaissance Fair or any other fair that Luna decides to go to with a giant spoon, which she believes is her child, gifted by the fairies, named John.
John, that's what it was.
Well, speaking about names, so we're back with Jim Miller, Kristen Erlitz, who joined us from the first podcast.
Yeah, that's me.
Zell, and we're going to we got to pick a name. Spoonie?
So my real name's Natalie, but I guess for the sake of making things easier, you can call me Spoonie.
Everybody else does.
Spoonie!
She is the spoon.
She is the spoon.
Best spooner in town.
Darn right.
So, Kristen was telling us about the wonderful story about John. How you first met John.
Yeah, and now that I know his name, there's going to be a Dear John letter at some point.
Why has no one ever done that before? John's gotten married.
Dear John scroll. John's got married?
John has been married before.
You know we have a singing, singing messenger this year?
We do.
He better not come to my militia.
Oh my goodness.
She is so cute.
Oh, it's
right?
She?
It's a girl.
To my understanding, yeah.
Yeah, and she runs around and...
You
and
said that like a worried nurse.
No, like she is?
We're kept separate from the younger kids, so they can be taught how to behave properly.
Yeah, we don't want them getting any bad habits.
We don't want them to get any bad habits.
Yeah.
Give them time, they'll get them anyway.
No, I think Bobby was talking to her saying, oh, we could do some really good bits because I do poetry, so maybe you can take some of my poetry and sing it to some of the people.
Oh my God, Bobby.
Terrible poetry. Oh gosh, it'll be so great.
I think as long as they can manage to fit all of his syllables into her tune, they'll be fine.
Yeah, it's Bobby. I can't wait to get him on here because we did the.
You're gonna have to give him 2 hours.
I might have to bring him in by himself.
Probably.
No. He's got to have an audience, and I'm a decent audience, but
he needs people to play off of.
Yeah,
I mean, Bobby is an amazing actor.
He's a genius.
He's such a genius, but also he's told me this. Like he's also very self-conscious about his character and stuff. However, he does such a great job because he's like, I aspire to have your energy pointing to me, and your charisma pointing to Jim, and your whatever you have.
I do have something. I'm sure.
But no, I mean,
you have sheer determination.
That's true.
You have spear determination.
Oh, bad. Hey, Zell.
Yes.
Do you remember last year we were
most of it?
Okay, that's really. It was in one of your more conscious moments.
Oh no.
We were goofing around by the bridge over the ditch, and I said something like, "I'm going to go ahead and cross this bridge now," and you said, "No, you won't. Not on my watch," or something like that. And I crossed it, and you put your hands on your hips and went, "How dare you!" And this patron behind me turned around and was like, "Ooh, I think something's gonna happen." And I just froze like deer in the headlights and took off running the other way. I was like, "Nope!"
So, do you remember that?
Yes.
So, what happened after I ran away?
The patron was just like, okay. Yeah, she crossed the troll bridge without paying the troll.
Nah.
Which step bridge they took it out, and I'm sad.
They're not replacing it?
I don't think so. They filled in the hole.
I don't know.
No.
There's no need for a bridge when there's no hole for the bridge to go over.
But I liked the bridge that didn't go over
anything.
Oh,
the bridge was awesome.
I liked it, too. I walked across it all the time, even though you didn't have to.
Guess what we have to do, then?
Build a bridge.
We have to build a new bridge.
Yes! Oh,
so what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring all of my spoons and lay them out, and then we will find some pikes.
Oh, that makes me wish that I was doing Keeper of the Keys this year, because we could, double the steel.
Keys and spoons?
Oh, that would be so great.
Spookies.
Spookies!
The spooky bridge.
We're the spookies.
Hold your breath when you cross it. It's a little spooky.
It's a whole bunch of little spoons and keys. Oh, let's see.
Spoons and keys and spoons and keys.
Keys and spoons. Spoons and keys and spoons and keys.
That sounds like a new way to beatbox.
Oh, gosh.
Is spoons and keys.
What have we done?
What have we done? But Natalie, I remember Natalie last year, I made the joke because I was playing Thomas Stafford.
Yes.
You made a joke?
No way.
Tell us another one.
End of story.
This is roast the host. Roast the host. But I was doing Thomas Stafford last year, and I was joking around with her about something backstage.
We were backstage.
Yeah, we were backstage, and I'm sitting there, and I'm going, if the Sir Thomas was single and Spoonie, if we could get them together, it would be. What was it?
Oh my gosh. No, he was saying maybe in an alternate reality, Thomas and Spoonie would be together, and then we, our children would be Spaffords.
Spafford. Oh, no, no.
Spaffercles.
It was something. It was something so funny that
no,
fit.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a spatula in our future somewhere in this story.
No. It's actually, I said something else, and it was just... It was perfect.
No, you two would just end up with a whole house full of ladles.
A Stafford.
Tuna Spafford.
Tuna Spafford. Tuna Spafford. No, because it would be Luna Staff. Well, yeah.
Thomas and Luna,
Spittoonie.
Spittoonie!
That's what it was! It was Spittoonie!
How did you all get from there to here?
Because it was Spoonie and Thomas, so it was I joked around, I was like, Spittoonie, and she turned around, she's just like... Your eyes went back, and poor, it wasn't Bobby... I think it was one of the other...
Steve.
Yeah, it was Steve. Steve turned around and was drinking. He was like...
Yep.
Just trying to do a spit take.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
And with Zell, my favorite...
What did I do?
Oh, no.
What
this
didn't
was...
you do?
So, well... there's a game in the militia...
Uh-huh.
...called Shuttle...
Scuttlehatch.
Scuttlehatch.
What'd you call it, Natalie?
Scuttlebug.
Scuttlebug.
I like that.
But it was called Scuttlehatch, and... At one point, I had given Zell a spear last year, for my collection. He was walking around with it, and it was, so funny because he was sitting it there, and they were playing Scuttle Hatch, and then out of nowhere, he's walking by, and this one guy he's been kind of winning the whole time. And he just kind of tapped the back of the scuttle hatch with the butt end of the spear. And the guy goes like head, like, ah! And falls. And then he just kind of looks down and goes, and walks away. And I was just like, it's just the look on his face of total, like, no, you can't dominate somebody. You got to have fun here. Not. It was great.
Yes, so stop winning.
Stop winning.
Anybody who's actually listening to this did not see was all the nonverbal communication that Jim just used to tell his story.
Scuttle Hatch has two...
like an Italian man.
Especially when I'm talking in small groups and I'm pinned in the corner.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Well, he wouldn't be in a corner if he didn't make me get a chair.
Because normally she sits in my lap and I'm having
that's
problems.
That's a different show.
That's a different podcast.
Baby.
Anyway. But Scuttle Hatch has got it's got two small platforms, and you grab a rope, and you're trying to pull each other off of your platforms.
You should Google it.
Google it. And
we need
Zell,
more video of it.
Zill literally, like, just put his spear underneath Zell. Put his spear underneath the edge of one of the Scuttle Hatches so he couldn't rock back. And when he tried to rock back, he lost his balance and fell forward. And that was, like, it was great because this guy started being more negative, and we're trying not to do the negative.
Yeah.
But all the weapons, and we had...
This really needs to be, like, a multimedia platform, so you can, like, throw up pictures of, like, what Scuttle Hatch is while you're talking about it.
Well,
like a Twitch thing.
When
so we're not playing video games.
Right.
Yeah. And
well,
we don't have
any
nervous
We're gonna do a Twitch
tics.
Stream, and we're gonna be playing Scuttle Hatch. Yeah.
Well, actually, this is layer one. I talked to Kristen about borrowing one of her cameras, and we're going to try to set it up for video.
Ooh.
So we're also going to be trying to kind of record this at Twitch.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to use the good camera, so we're going to be futzing around with the not-so-good camera.
I didn't want to assume that I could use the good one. I was going to use one of her old ones so that if something happened, it wasn't, you know, her
What's
really gonna nice
happen?
Camera.
We're all sitting down having polite conversation.
With
hand gestures.
Four of us in a small area with this much energy.
You put that quarter
you tape it to the fan.
And everybody who watches gets vertigo.
Oh, yes.
That's just like a free bonus that's thrown
in. This is how Scuttle Hatch feels.
Scuttle Hatch kind of feels like your face hitting the grass.
Yeah.
That's
only
how
if you're not
works.
Very good at it.
I'm not very good at it, Zell.
You have to lower your center of gravity.
I'm already short.
Bend your knees.
She's got a center of gravity.
I mean, don't we all?
That's how the couch broke.
Maybe. Oh.
Oh.
That was my low
that's
center
how
of
the
gravity.
Couch broke. So, this is yes, we will discuss couch breaking on a future podcast.
On a different podcast.
Anyway,
I have a funny thing because for some reason, early in my Renaissance Fair history, I could not remember anybody's names. So I remember when Zell started, he would tell me his name multiple times, and I go, Pumpkin, because he's dressed in orange and he looks like a pumpkin. And so whenever I would refer to Zell, because
you've got
or,
green pants too, right?
They're brown pants and a green hat.
There we go, yes.
So he literally looks like a pumpkin. And so whenever I would refer to him or whenever I like tried to get him over at the Court of Common Pleas or anything, I'd be like, the
pumpkin!
One that looks like a pumpkin! And so some people, like, I would yell pumpkin from across the field and patrons would be like, oh, is that your sweetheart? And I go... No. But you call them pumpkin, and I'm like, oh crap, that's a pet name that some people use. Like, a pumpkin! Some people thought that I was,
I believe
affectionate
the pet name does not have the second P in it. That's the difference. You
pumpkin.
Were calling him
pumpkin,
and it was just pumpkin.
Yeah.
If you had omitted P2, then... it's affectionate.
If you omit P2.
If you omit
yes.
P2.
Pumpkin. Instead of pumpkin.
Yes. Pumpkin.
But the way you just said it, you sound very, very Harley Quinn.
Oh, pumpkin. Mr. J.
Harley, go over and feed the hyenas.
Oh, this was your turn.
So, I wish I could do a better Mark Hamill.
I would.
Just do a better Joker.
You don't need Mark Hamill. You just
Why so serious?
That was the over the top Joker. But so we all. I mean, you normally because we camp, and you normally go home because it's so close. And you're not sure yet.
Well, my mother works at a storage facility.
So you're just gonna live there.
Well, basically right now. But what I have done is she takes all of the storage units that haven't been able to, like, you know, been up to date. People can't pay for them, so she does like the storage wars with the storage units in her place.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the ones that don't sell, she gets to look through and everything. So we end up hoarding even more stuff that we need to. But she actually found a cot, and she found like a mini mattress that folds out and has a pillow on it.
Ooh.
And I'm like, ooh. And then another cast member has offered to let me use their tent. So I'm like, oh, so I'll just, you know, keep everything here. It's a lot easier for me to be on time, so I might end up just camping out this year.
Right. Which is awesome. Which is different because in our campgrounds we have a lot of special, like, we do, people do music and there's playing and, you know, people just run out a guitar and start.
But we also glamp.
We also glamp.
Oh, glamping.
Like, yeah. We have our tent is obnoxiously huge.
The cod piece
pavilion. Our home away from home.
Yes.
Now, if none of you have ever experienced glamping, think of a hotel room literally smudged into an oversized tent. Like, minus the shower, except I hear that we have a shower this year.
What? No, there's no shower this year that I'm aware of.
I think a couple people have set up shower tents.
Well, you
know what there is? There's a water tank with a sub pump and a high powered hose.
That's what I meant.
Yes. So what has happened is they have this massive water tank with a heater, and they have hooked a sub pump up to the water tank and run a hose into a privacy screen.
This is the all-inclusive genius that is Kenny Hydock.
It is. Oh, it really is. Because without him, there would also be no solar power anything.
Mm-hmm.
And what else does he come up with? His whole campsite is solar powered.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I know that when he...
I think it's half and half.
Back when he had the camper was all solar.
Yeah.
And I think his campsite is now all solar or mostly solar. And then he's created the shower, which for the longest time was like a bring your own solar bag.
Yeah.
And now it actually has water pressure. Yeah. So they've got that going on. And I really think it's just a matter of time before he has a full kitchen. Because right now he's got two grills and a wash station and a prep area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's really just a matter of time before he's just this got is all being like a hibachi table.
Yeah, this is all about being a part of a volunteer, you know...
Community.
Like, we volunteer, we all kind of come together, we have groups to get together, and they cook food together, and...
Drink together.
We were going to try to skip that part.
We drink water together.
We drank water together.
And Gatorade.
Stay hydrated, it's super important.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
We stay hydrated, and... but, I mean, there's also a lot of rules that we follow.
Yes.
To make sure that we can camp on site. And
thankfully,
so
it's become a lot more organized on the campsite this year.
Yes. Yes. No, we've had some great strides in moving camping forward, and we've had some increased craziness with the size of the tents.
I was just blown away that the people that needed power were closer to the power boxes than the people who didn't need power.
Good.
That's just brilliant.
Yeah, they traded. They traded. Traded some stuff around. So
that's good.
And yeah. What's Aaron's last name?
Aaron Kelly.
Aaron Kelly. Yeah. And Aaron Kelly has been doing a great thing this year. I mean, she's worked a lot of stuff out. She's mapped it out. She's showed me her little Tetrises that she was turning everything around to make sure everybody could fit and
figuring out whose tent had to face in which direction so that they could actually get in and out,
of their tent.
Luckily, because Steve allowed Aaron Weedor to use his tent, but Aaron's not camping. He just needed it for, like, I guess a night or something like that, or whatever needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, oh, Natalie, if you're camping, you can use the tent. So my tent was already set up, and it was placed exactly where I wanted it, and I'm just like, ooh, this is perfect.
Very nice.
Spoils of war.
If that's what you want to call
spoons
it.
Of war.
Spoons of war.
But, no,
No, my favorite part of camping on site is definitely the impromptu musical variety shows that occur. And the impromptu, like, you know, the folks that do, like, the acrobatics and the stage shows and a lot of, like, the crazy stuff. Okay, it's not really that crazy for them. But they will, like, try out new stuff in the campground in the evenings to see how it works and how it goes. And so we kind of get, like, this beforehand look of, yeah, we're thinking about doing this, but we're not sure if it's gonna work, so we're gonna try it and see what happens. Yeah.
Does this mean I'll be able to camp with the Vixens?
I don't know. If they're camping. If they're camping, then yes.
They're probably not camping.
I mean, and we do our impromptu, like, practice sessions.
What are we practicing? Oh, weapons and things.
Yeah. Depends on some people practice musical instruments and singing, and some people watch YouTube videos of German brownie recipes.
Yes, we watched that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and several other.
They did it like death metal style.
Nice.
And after you translate the German back into English, it's a recipe for brownies.
That's amazing. Does anybody bring a projector or anything?
That happened a couple years ago. Like, somebody brought a projector for the kids put up movies and stuff like that. But I don't know if it happened last year.
No, last year everybody went out to a movie. Last year we all got together and went out. And I forget which film.
It was one of the Marvel ones.
But, yeah.
I think it was.
Probably Civil War. No.
No, that wasn't out yet.
If it was last year, it would have been out.
Ant-Man, spring?
Maybe it was Ant-Man. Yeah, I think it was
Ant-Man.
Because we were all laughing and cracking up after the end where they turned around and it's like, massive fight scene, you see the little toy train go, eek. We're just like, that's combat right there!
That's also comedy. And once again, that's a huge shout out to Kenny, because he's the one that organized that trip and made sure that there was enough room in the theater for our entire cast to come check out.
We need to do again, and we have so many great movies coming out. We have Ant-Man 2 coming out. We have Deadpool coming out.
Deadpool 2. This is the year of the sequels.
Yes, we have Jurassic World coming out, another 2.
Yes.
Dinosaurs in Danger.
But I really like,
hopefully the fence is up.
So several years ago, we're going way back. This probably 7 or 8 years ago.
How far?
We all went to go see Pirates of the Caribbean.
2012.
We all went to go see Pirates of the Caribbean.
I wasn't in on that one
because
I was still bartender.
But here was the really cool part. We invaded the theater in our
pirate garb.
Everybody brought out their finest pirate wear, and we went to the theater and we took up the entire front 3 rows.
It was great.
And we were in our pirate gear, and once again, Kenny stood up in front of the screen during the credits and started speaking to the entire audience who was waiting for the previews to start as a pirate. And of course, you know, most of the cast has had to piggyback onto that.
Oh,
and
of course.
It was awesome. It was great. And there's this big group photo from when we all showed up at the theater.
Do you remember when we went to Denny's?
Oh my god.
Beforehand?
I do remember.
It was afterwards.
Afterwards.
We went to Denny's afterwards.
Oh no.
Now, the reason
Still in pirate garb.
Still in pirate garb.
And we had not showered yet.
Nope. So we all smelled
authentic.
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 We smelled authentic.
And we were all ordering stuff, and this was like the season of like the Baconators. So like there was bacon burgers, there was bacon like nachos, and then there was bacon shakes. Okay.
Oh yeah, the bacony salty like
never caramel. Before did they have to make like 50 plus bacon shakes. All in one evening.
Yeah, because we're like there's like barely any kosher or there's barely any Jewish and or Muslim faith individuals that are a part of our cast. There is some, but there's very few. And it was very, very interesting for, like, everybody was ordering bacon. Everybody was ordering bacon.
And I'm only half Jewish, so I can totally have bacon.
You were the Diet Coke of Judaism.
When I was a kid, I convinced my sister she was half Jewish.
to this day...
Wait a second.
Under good stories.
to this day, I always tell people, like, I'm not religiously Jewish, but I have Jewish heritage in my family. So I am, you know, heritagely Jewish.
Hereditarily.
Thank you.
Yes.
Words, they happen.
Words.
But the reason I remember the Denny's is because I remember getting the bacon shake, and I have a spoonful, and everyone's like, oh, Natalie, how does it taste? And I'm like, oh, it tastes like heaven in my mouth. But with a spoonful of ice cream in my mouth saying that, everyone thought I said, it tastes like Kevin in my mouth. Kevin Hedgecock, our photographer, is at the place as well and goes, oh, Natalie, I didn't know we were there yet. This was when I had just turned 18.
And you had probably just met Kevin.
I had just met Kevin.
That was your first year on cast, right?
That was my second year.
Second year on cast.
Second year on cast.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so funny.
Wow.
But, yeah. Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God.
Tastes like Kevin in my mouth.
So that 14 and a half rating just...
Well, but now that story will live on forever.
In infamy.
In infamy.
You know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. So Kristen and I get in a lot of trouble on the fair.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Zell and I do our damage over in the militia randomly.
Yeah. Oh,
did you have a story to go with that, or was it just a random...
I just remember, like, the countless times that we'll be brought up into court or something, and then be like, but Miss Bridget was with me, so she just be up your chair. She'll be like, but Spoonie saw the whole thing.
Well, so like if I have to be up there, Spoonie has to be up there because she was involved at some point, I'm
sure.
Obviously.
And what's really, really nice is some of my favorite Spoonie-esque moments are if she's at one end of the fair and I'm at the other end of the fair, but we happen to make eye contact, it's all downhill from there.
Literally,
depending on who's at which end, it might actually be downhill.
It's so true, though, because I'm not one to boast, but I think that we have probably two of the loudest voices in the entire fairground.
At least amongst the women,
At least amongst the women, yes.
Yes.
There's maybe, like, two other people that can either match or possibly top us, but, like, yes. So, we'll have...
Well, go ahead.
Gentlemen, sometimes.
We're going to call you that.
Mental
anyway.
Gin.
We will have complete conversations from either ends of the fair, diagonally, longitudinally, everywhere.
It doesn't matter.
Nope.
And we can be heard over whatever's happening on the Rose stage.
Nope. So, last.
Which they now have mics on that stage, so we gotta up our game a little bit.
We can be louder.
Yeah. It's on.
Yeah.
Yep.
One of my favorite ones is with Zell and Meyer, who plays Gunson.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sitting there at the top of the hill, and it was last year, it was Thomas Stafford. And suddenly I'm looking down, and I wanted to get a hold of Meyer, but Meyer was turned around. Which, if you yell his name, you yell Gunson down the hill, every once in a while he doesn't pick up on it.
Well, and it's really hard to get a hold of Meyer anyway because he's a rather large man.
Yeah. And it was just hysterical because,
He just railroaded right over that.
I railroaded right over that.
Picked up on it.
He is a large man. But I saw Zell next to him, and I'm yelling down the hill at, like, as loud as I go. There's, like, something's going on at the Phoenix. I wasn't paying attention. And so I'm trying to get a hold of Meyer, and I boom down at Captain. I was like, Captain! Ask Gunson's... Literally, he's right next to him. He's sitting right next to him. And the captain goes, what? And so I'm yelling down the hill at Zell. And Zell turns and starts asking... Doesn't yell at Meyer, Gunson. He starts asking him the question. Instead of having Meyer yell back, he turns and yells back up the hill at me. Like a telephone.
He's now a relay point.
He's now a relay point. And I yell down the hill again. We were asking questions back and forth for like 4 or 5 minutes.
And Meyer's just in his little fairy tale land. Meyer's right just next in his, to him.
Yeah, asking him questions. Uh-huh. You know, instead of, like, yelling back up the hill, like, which Meyer normally would do, it was just this whole thing where it just got so funny because everybody just kept looking at the two of us and noticing the person we're talking about is sitting right next to Zell.
Yep, that was great.
But then again, Meyer's a very surprising person. I mean, who'd ever thunk he's that light on his feet?
Yeah.
You know?
Big man, big man, and he's just...
He love to dance.
I don't want to define it as twinkle toes, but I mean they do. They do kind of twinkle.
And they jingle.
Yeah.
He's got a case of jingle foot.
Natalie and I are going to jump on this again because we've both had the opportunity to be Meyer's partner in Townsfolk Dancing.
Yes.
And that is the partner you want to like clamor for to try to get because you. Okay, so first off. He's strong enough that when it comes to the spins and the turns and the, you know, throw your partner away, you go flying.
You can feel the G-force as your face starts hitting the outside.
It's so much fun.
Well,
you know,
when it comes to, what is it, the half hand again?
Yes.
And it comes to the Rufty Tufty.
Yes.
Those are the two dances that you get a lot of G-force, depending on who you're with. And so, usually with me, and I have someone else that's not as an experienced dancer, I'll, like, test it out with them, and I'll, like, have fun with it. But when I'm with Meyer, my feet are off the ground.
The whole time. He lets you touch down every now and again just to make sure that,
that gravity still works.
Yeah, that gravity you're still stationary.
Yeah.
Yes. And
great.
Yeah. Oh. The worst part, though, is having to go, especially in the half Hannigan, where you keep changing partners and change every single chorus, you're changing partners. And going from dancing with Meyer, where you know, G-force, and your feet haven't hit the ground the whole chorus, and then you get flung to the person behind you and realize it's somebody that doesn't know what they're doing, or you get like a little kid or something, and all of a sudden you have to take that energy way down, and you know go back to their level, and then depending on who's behind them. You never know what you're going to get.
Oh, like the maypole?
That is one of my favorite dances, though, the half hand again.
I'm going to interject real quick right here. The reason I joined the militia was so I didn't have to dance.
New goal.
And
half Zelda dance.
And half the militia dances.
You got, when is Townsfolk Dance this year? Because we got to make sure that Zell doesn't have a show.
Well, we have dancing right after Main Gate, so it's around 10 o'clock.
Right.
And then we also have the maypole dancing
You brought it up, dude.
Yes.
You painted a very large target on your back.
We may also have another set of dancing around 2, but I'm not completely sure. Because usually what has happened in the past is that we have 2 dance sets.
Yes.
However, it might change just because of all the activity that's happening everywhere.
Yes.
Everything is going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you yawning?
I've been up. I got up early this morning.
Slap him one.
You're not.
Or five.
I'm up.
Somebody gave me permission. That's all it takes.
Somebody gave me permission. So one of my favorite ones of watching the whole cast interact was we had a maypole.
We have a maypole. It hasn't gone anywhere.
We had a maypole event where it was like 90% kids under 4 feet.
Yes.
Mm.
And it was all these adults helping all these children with the maypole. And I'm gonna say kerfluffle.
It's like herding cats.
That happened where we were trying to untie like 14 couples of, you know, parent and child, and trying to get them to do a pattern that didn't tie one of them to the pole.
Oh my goodness.
Which was a lot of fun, mind you, and they had a lot of fun, but there was moments where I just thought a parent was just gonna get taken out. just clotheslined, and it was so funny just watching all of the cast, like even nobles were stepping in, yep. and people that weren't even like, that were like taking their lunch were, you know, sitting there just like, no, everybody in, because this is so, like, it's a square knot at this point. It's we're just doubled. Trying to get it undone.
So when the chips are down, or I you like know chips. The kids are active, then chips. The whole cast comes together.
Yes.
They have to.
Yes.
That's the only way you're going to survive.
One of my favorite moments of the whole fair day is the queen arriving. Just because it's a lot of, I guess, commotion that comes about of the mm-hmm. townsfolk, and then like the patrons get excited. But one of my favorite moments that I didn't start, but I thought was really funny because I was caught up in the militia.
What?
Because someone decided to grab Spoonie for the militia for the first day of fair last year.
I see Spoonie walking in front, and I gotta be like,
you're mine. So I'm joining the militia, and we are at the head of the parade for the queen. And so as the head of the parade, we're clearing the way for the queen and everything like that. All of a sudden, I look out of the corner of my eye, and I see this bustle of townsfolk just running to one end of the
place. Oh my god! One end I of know the how place. That started. I knew who started that.
And so, all of a sudden, I see everyone at one end, and I'm just like, oh, look, there's all the townsfolk. They're saying hi to the queen. That's really cool. And then we're marching maybe, like, you know, 10 steps. All of a sudden, the townsfolk are there. It's like, weren't you guys over there? But it wasn't that they just ran. They also were wearing different hats.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, I remember that.
Is they would try to get, like, patrons involved and try to get, like, patrons with hats. And so, like, you would see, like, the Uwarer from last year wearing a baseball cap. And so, like, we would be marching 10 feet. And the townsfolk would just keep running different places. And
in between the tents and come up on the other side of a vendor tent in a different position.
It is so funny. I was cracking up. And then as soon as, like, the other days where I didn't do the militia, I would join in on that. And it was just so much fun just being able to run around and do that. I think it was started by Aurelia?
I'm pretty sure Aurelia started the whole thing.
Yeah.
And she started off, like, just her, maybe one other person, and they were the way it started. Oh, and, of yeah. course, you always start with this little idea, and it just grows and grows and grows, grows and grows. And grows. But the way they started was they came out in between two tents, and we're all excited to see the queen, and then I'm pretty sure it was Aurelia that started it, said, oh, if we run and we're really quick, we can see her again on the other side of the field. And so they took off running, and by the time it got to the end of the season, it was now a bit that happened every single day during parade.
With all of the townsfolk.
And it happened with all the townsfolk, and it became very pointed. Like, yes. You're gonna run to this point, and everybody, by the first lap, everybody was still pretty fresh and pretty excited, and they would just switch hats halfway across to the new point. And then by the second point that they got to see the queen, you could tell, like, the sweat was starting to drip, but they were still so excited. And start pulling patrons in with them.
And then by the fifth one.
By the fifth or sixth one, they were dying. And they were, like, leaning on their props. And, like, we made it. Oh, my God, we made it. Who has my hat?
But I thought it was a really funny bit.
Oh, my God, it was brilliant.
Where me and Aurelia actually played townsfolk for one day at the New York Renaissance Fair.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, Natalie, do you want to do this bit with me? At the New York Renaissance Fair, which I had only been to previously one other weekend, and I didn't really understand the map very well. But she had been there. She had worked for the fair for, I think, now 2 years.
Yeah.
And so she knows it pretty well. And I'm just like, I'm going to follow you because I have no idea where I'm going. And so we ran. But the New York Renaissance Fair is at least 3 times larger than the Virginia Renaissance Fair, at least in, like, size.
Oh, my God.
But then it's 10 times more confusing because they have builded structures, they have marked roads, they have hills, and they have all X, Y, and Z. So Aurelia and I have probably hit up to 12 different points by the end of it.
And she's, like, super, super athletic.
Yes.
Like, yeah, that's
really
not fair.
Athletic.
Keeping up with Aurelia, like, I mean, I consider myself being pretty athletic and energetic
you
as well.
You are. You dance.
But I'm just like, oh, gosh, I need to lay under a tree for a half hour. Thank you. Oh, one of my favorite bits.
That was a fun bit. I got to participate in that bit a few times, I think probably 3 or 4 times over the course of the run. But of course, I'm doing it with all the keys.
Yeah.
And so I'm jingling.
Pounds of metal. Jingle, jingle,
jingle. Yeah, everybody can hear me running across the...
That's why the keys have to go in the trunk before they come home.
Yeah.
Because you can hear Kristen coming from, like, 50 feet away.
Well, I think it was also a point where we would go from, like, towards where the gate was to our next point. But then as we were going to the third point, we knew that we had a dance set afterwards. So everyone would start dropping off their stuff at the maypole and then running to the next point and just being like, gotta loosen the load! Huh!
Yep.
Run!
And sometimes you learn valuable lessons, like don't dance with your mug on.
Oh, gosh.
Because there have definitely been more than one...
You've been mugged!
Physical mugging during a dance set. You get to spinning around and those things, you know, we were talking about centrifugal force earlier, and they're right at hip height, so, you know, gentlemen.
Bam!
Oof.
Yeah. What? You got to be careful who you dance with.
I was like that... We had one fight that we were doing right after, what was it, the hobby horse races.
Mm-hmm.
We did hobby horse races, and one of my bandoliers was actually a finish line.
Okay.
And so they would do that, and then we would seal off the area, and we would have a fight.
Yep.
Well, during one of the fights, I would get punched. Yes. And I would go backwards, and I'd kick my feet straight up in the air. So I was on my shoulder and my head doing a reverse fall. And I got nailed. I go up in the air, and out of the corner of my eye, somebody had released their small child who goes running into the middle of the fight.
Aye.
And airborne, I stop because I heard, you know... stop, which is I heard one of the fight directors or the fight or the hold. I'm feet up in the air. I'm vertical. And I'm like, I held it for like a couple of seconds until she kind of got past. And then I had to fall in the opposite direction.
And who caught your feet?
And this one caught my feet, but I still ended up rolling on my mug.
Oh,
ow.
Like I had practiced it with the mug and the full kit like so many times I could go backwards without a problem, but that one time I went airborne and I had to hold it and it's like and you can just see my ugly face as I'm like tucked into my shoulder, and then I had to roll the other way and my mug went underneath me and
he done good. He avoided the kid.
That's good.
Ugh. Yeah, I caught the feet.
Good.
But it was like intentionally caught his feet, so that
like,
worked
you didn't
out.
Get kicked in the face or something.
No, I didn't get kicked. I hooked his leg with my arm and like helped lower him down.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
So that was on those weird, you know, don't roll over your mug. Because we've seen people that have like tripped or fallen and landed right on the mug. And
some of the mugs will break and you're just like, boo hoo. But some of the mugs are so sturdy, they won't break. They'll break you.
You.
Yes.
They will break you.
Yes.
Gotta love a good pewter mug.
Yeah, as it's indented into your skin. Oh,
so let's chat about that for a moment, because we've all had those questions of what is all this stuff hanging off your belt and why. Like, they're not just there to make us look like creepy witch doctors.
What do you mean? All the spoons hanging off my belt? You don't think I've prepossessed people into the spoons to just play with them?
On the first evening of the solstice, you take the spoon and place it upon the plate.
Oh,
jeez.
So what do you carry, either as your character or as a person,
question.
Just what is it that you keep on your person all day long? What is hanging off of that belt?
Zell?
Well, I have my reality pouch, of course.
Reality pouch?
Yeah, it's where I keep everything that's not fair appropriate.
Like your ID?
My phone, my wallet, my smokes, you know, all the stuff that the regular people shouldn't see me with. And then I have my actual pouch that's got usually just my pocket watch in it, so I can tell the time with something period appropriate. Then I have my mug. I usually carry around a wooden pipe. You can't smoke it at fair, but it's period and it's accurate, so, you know,
And you can chew on the end if you start to feel.
Right. And, Yeah, no, that's... Oh, and my coin pouch, because I'm the captain and I have to pay people.
I guess you have to do that.
Yeah,
you kind of have to.
Yeah.
So, Spoonie, obviously... I'm not a blacksmith, so I can't just make myself an armor of spoons. Also, that's really hot and heavy, so to wear that all the time, not so great.
Been there, done
but,
that.
So what I had to do, like,
it'd
learning...
be like spoon mail.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, like the dragon amazing. Mail?
Skipping the
yeah.
chain. Like, skipping chain mail, going straight to spoon mail.
Yeah.
I could see that in a D&D log.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I just thought of another bit to do with Spoonie, and it involves spoon mail.
So
back to your...
So what I would have to do is I would have to figure out ways to... Because I would carry a basket around for a long time, but then I decided to get away from the basket and just start carrying things on my belt in person. So I have, like, my mug. I have different pouches that I carry on me that hold specific types of spoons. Mm. So
she carries a lot of spoons.
Yes.
Well, first of all, on the belt itself, I have spoons just hanging off the belt itself, just to, like, mm-hmm. create that little idea.
Jingle, jingle.
Jingle, jingle, and I always jingle. And then I have a little black bag that has failed experiments. Basically, spoons gone wrong. Any type of thing, like, everyone asks, what do you think about sporks? And I'm like, well, I invented it. I don't know what to do with it yet, so I've put it back in my black pouch. So it's the bag of mystery, really. It's got a couple of weird things in there. So I have that. I also have a purple bag that has obscure spoons or spoons of, like, storytelling. I have one spoon that's different colors. It's made of the rainbow wood that you might mm-hmm. see. And... For little kids, sometimes I'll be like, okay, pick a color from the spoon and I'll tell you a story. And so each different color has its own story, which I like to make up every time. But if they pick red, it's like, oh, well, once upon a time there was this fair maiden who came across a fire-breathing dragon and everything would catch on fire, and until this fair maiden came over and petted it on the nose and then it decided to breathe bubbles instead.
And if you ask her about the blue, it's the same story.
Except it's a water-breathing dragon.
Okay, so what do you keep in your pouches? This is like a whole new, like, this is random off the top. What do you carry in your pouches? Things I can't share.
I said on your person.
On your person.
Yeah. And then... I also have, sometimes I like to bring them out of the Court of Common Pleas that I've just created last year. They're my my spoomojis.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember them, but they're...
Yes,
they're
the spoons with the happy face and the sad face and the angry face mm-hmm. and, yeah.
It all started when Facebook started doing their reactions to all the posts and stuff like that, and I'm like, that would be funny to put that image on a spoon. So I just started doing it. I put all of the reactions on the spoons.
Dramatic.
And so every time I'm like, breathe. I like it. There's a spoon with, like, a blue thumbs up. And it's got a little rough on it. And like, oh, that makes me happy. That makes me sad. That makes me angry. That whatever. I like those. They're fun. But yeah, if you ever come up to me during the fair and ask, like, what are you carrying on your pouch? It'll probably be different every time. Yeah. Just to be honest, I carry spoons
you?
More than anything.
Me
spoons.
as Bridget Locks or as Izzy, because it's different.
Bridget,
who are you this as, year?
This oh, year yeah. I'm Izzy.
So what does Izzy have?
Let's talk about Izzy.
All right, so Izzy, so she's got her belt has skirt hikes on it. Because
what's a skirt hike?
A skirt hike is a little piece of leather that holds your skirt up, but it holds not the whole skirt because it's got like a tie in the top of it. But you grab the skirt like halfway down or three quarters of the way down, and you pick it up and you tie it onto your skirt hike so that you have full freedom of movement and you don't get tangled in your skirts.
Really good for the fighters.
Really good for the fighters. Or if you have an underskirt that's a different color, it'll show off the underskirt.
Ooh, sexy.
Yes.
Ankles!
PG rating there, Zell.
14 and a half.
I thought we already lost that.
Probably. I'm going to have to listen to the recording and...
So, anyway...
Those are skirt hikes. And then there's a secondary belt that I can remove if I'm going to be fighting so that I don't have to worry about my mug swinging around and hitting my fight partner.
That's nice.
And so the secondary belt, which is removable or more easily removable, that has my mug, it has my bowl, and it has my pouch of reality. And then it also has my pouch of fair props, which for this year, one of my biggest props this year is I'm going to be constantly eating a piece of grass or chewing on a piece of grass.
She accidentally grew up an onion by accident.
Yes, no! 2 weeks ago at rehearsals was the first time, and I genuinely just got bored in between when they needed me for rehearsing, and I started chewing on the little tufts of like wheatgrass that were growing up in the field. And all the directors really, really liked it. So we just kind of kept going. Well, last weekend I went to grab a piece specifically to chew on and unbeknownst to me, I yanked the scallion leaf right off of a sweet onion. And the, for anyone who's ever done that early in the season,
they're fresh.
They're not tasty. Like, the onion bulb is passable, but the leafy bit is
not so much.
Very awful and horrible. And so,
I feel bad for you.
Yeah, and I had it in my mouth for a while before I actually bit into it. And so we were in the middle of a scene when I bit down on it and released all this disgusting
juice.
Yeah. it was gross. So I've decided that for the rest of the run, I will be harvesting my chewing grass from my own yard because it's wheat and orchard. and I can guarantee that it's wheat and orchard.
And you can just put it in a pouch and just be like, alright, yes, this is my next one.
I will have a pouch. And there's even a little bit where one of my scene partners takes the little piece of grass out of my mouth and like throws it. And so I've decided at that point what I need to do is reach down and grab this obnoxiously long piece and just and my scene partners don't know that that's happening yet.
I think it's important for any scene
to have
some sort of mystery. Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be foretold that everything is going to happen exactly the same way, because then it's not genuine.
And it won't, because your audience is going to change anyway, so depending on where they're located and how they're reacting, it's going to be different.
Yep.
Oh, so, God.
But anyway, so back to what's on the bells. That's it.
That's it?
I think
how
that's
about
it.
You, Tyrannus?
Tyrannus. Oh.
Tyrannus Stonebrook.
Is that your last name?
Yes.
Yeah.
I decided to go for something very, very aggressive and very, very calm.
Stonebrook. It sounds like you should have your own fairy tale.
Or at least some ice cream.
That's Stonybrook.
That's Stonybrook.
Oh.
But that could be a bit.
It could be a bit. So number one, we have to go into a small story about
having
a bad belt. A lot of people don't get that. They get that first belt at like Walmart, or they grab it at like Goodwill.
It's just a bad, bad belt.
It's just a bad, bad belt.
I also just looked over and Spoonie's foot and hand were in the wrong positions on her body.
She is flexible. Sorry. But this is not an advertisement.
I just needed to stretch.
So I bought one of those belts from Goodwill because it was my first year and I volunteered. Well, okay, victim tiered, voluntold. I ended up hooking up with the ladder. The Jacob's Ladder people, and I spent the entire day as a patron helping them gather money.
Oh, this was at Maryland.
Okay.
Oh.
And so I'm running down the hill after the group of guys I started hanging out with, and my belt just blew. And I was a patron. I had all the stuff on my belt. So, and I was like, oh, God. And they turned around and goes, no problem. There's a leather guy on the other side of the fair. Just gather up all your stuff. We're walking that way anyway. So I gathered up all my stuff, and I actually had some money I was supposed to spend that day. And I'm going, I didn't spend it. So I was like, okay, it's like, here, buy a leather belt. So I actually have 3 leather belts that I wear every day. I wear one belt to hold my clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
That's important.
That's really important.
You wear clothes?
I wear clothes to a Ren fair. Hopefully I wear Renaissance clothes. Approved Renaissance clothes. And so
there's, well, Kirsten said they were okay.
Which I need to make sure that my stuff is okay, because I just finished some bits and I still have to make a chemise.
These things, they happen.
Before this weekend.
I still have to put boning in my bodice before
last,
this weekend.
Last minute to clothing repair? No!
Never!
So I have the belt, and then my over belt is a buckle belt with a swordsman's ring belt over top of it.
Okay.
So that I can put, like, my swords in my pouches. And I have one mug strap on the back, because, you know, it got... Actually, I get a lot of questions about the mug bouncing on my butt. I don't know why.
It does.
A nice butt.
Well, thank you. I try.
He has buns of steel.
Let's...
At least 14 limestone.
At least limestone. Maybe some shale. And then I bought a new pouch last year, which was the solid, it's like a pillbox kind of pouch. Okay. And I keep all of my normal stuff in there. And then I have another pouch that's long, it's actually got an eating dagger that's tied off onto it and everything, that goes over my sword. So I'm trying to make it look like a traveling kit this year. And I put the sword underneath the pouch. And then I can go in either one, and there's also the whole thing of, oh, I need to get it, yeah, I'll give you that money, I'll reach into my pouch, here's my sword instead. You know, I'm trying to make him look like he's a well-traveled guy who's willing to take care of himself, I guess.
And take care of everyone around him.
Yes.
Sometimes.
And that's all part of the Tyrannus' weird, unusual backstory, and him fighting the Uruur about the aqueduct and...
Right. You really just have to be on Tyrannus' good side, which subsequently happens to be his right.
Oh.
So's you know.
It is.
Wait, his good side is on his right?
Yes.
So I'm always right.
Yes.
Oh. Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
But be that as it may, oh, my gosh, we're almost at 2 hours.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is that bad or good?
It's both.
It gives him a lot of material.
Well, it's just I can listen to it.
This particular one is going to require a few edits, no matter what.
A few edits. I'm gonna have to find out, because this is my second podcast.
Natalie and her naughty mouth.
Oh, I love you.
There's gonna be some editing, maybe some re-recording, maybe some mixing,
maybe
a playback track. But I also have to before we start kind of wrapping up. I wanted to thank Brad Lee Howard and the wonderful Pirates Royale for giving me permission to use the Jamboree for opening and closing. And I also want to thank my wonderful and lovely guests.
I'm wonderful. She's lovely.
Well, you could be lovely and she could be wonderful.
I thought you were lovely.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're
wonderful.
Thank you.
So I want to thank the lovely and wonderful Zell Hansel. The lovely, and just look at her. Isn't she awesome?
She's adorable. Look at her. It's a podcast.
Yeah, they
can't
see me.
I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to them.
Oh, I can see her. Yes. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
The wonderful, wonderful Natalie Spoonie. Kristen Erlitz, who is technically going to start becoming my co-host, technically, because she's going to be doing the third podcast.
You're stuck with me.
I'm stuck with you. And my name is Jim Miller, and I'm your host for Renaissance Recall. We're bringing history to life, so come out and play with us. It's good to see you. Thank you for listening, and hopefully we will see you at the fair soon. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Bye!
Jamboree, how you ring-tail sailors, coming out behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, shiny keep your tailpiece warm. Now, me lads, be of good cheer. For Lundy's Isle, it holds quite near, so it's way down below, and stow your gear. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ha! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, all your ring-tail sailors coming up behind. Ha! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, to keep your tailpiece warm. Heartland Point's coming up in sight, on the port bow, sitting Lundy's light. We'll be stroking up some fires tonight. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ha! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, all your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ha! Jamboree.
Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Pilot cutter's coming up ahead. There'll be no more horse meat or hardtack bread. Tonight we'll sleep in your feather bed. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ha! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. We'll make port by the end of day. We can see the girls standing on the quay. And as we leave, we'll be getting our pay. So, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ho! Jamboree! Ho! Jamboree! Ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree! Ho! Jamboree! Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Several weeks on shore, but a sailor lad, he must roam forevermore. So it's fare thee well to me, Liverpool whore. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Come on!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Look at me then!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, hire ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
One, two, three, four!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, hire ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece. Jenny, keep your tailpiece.